You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
John Hockenberry is speaking at the TED conference in California today. All this week, we'll hear some of John's conversations with the big thinkers and innovators and other newsmakers who are attending the conference as well. Today, Nobel Prize laureate Lema Boe, who led a women's peace movement that brought an end to the civil war in Liberia.
I wanted to talk about your personal story. You know, a young person, man or woman, grows up in the world of their parents and their community, their neighborhood, and they see the world around them, and at a certain point, they go, this is the world. But you also reached a point where you said, well, this may be my world, but there's something wrong here. Did you ever believe, and when did you believe, that you had a responsibility to do something?
You know, growing up, I tell people I had one of the best childhoods. I grew up in a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious community where I was socialized to believe that we're all equals, girls and boys, that every ethnic group mattered. And then the war came, and that belief system was turned, shattered, turned upside down. And I went around for many years with a terrible kind of anger, anger at my community, anger at the adults in that community, anger at the policymakers, the warlords, just very, very angry. But I encountered a group of women who had gone through some of the worst, and they still had hope. Those women really kind of helped to shape my thinking, take me from that place of a victim into that place of a survivor that could make a difference. And it was at that point that I said to myself, I would do something. But then it was just still in my head until I met young child soldiers that were amputees. These children that I hated so much, gradually as I got to know them and I listened to their story, I came to realize that these are people that are also victims. Then I met their wives, some of them who had wives. I also, you know, so it was like I was on a journey to confront all of those things that I thought was responsible for where I found myself, for that feeling of anger. And then I realized that all of these things that I was actually directing my anger at were not the right things to direct my anger at. And so my work now became to sensitize women about the role they had to play in the peace building process. And when the time came for us to protest, it was like fearlessly. Of course, I had the option of going to join a rebel faction. I could fight. I was young. I was energetic. But then how different would that have made me from Taylor and from those who wage war on other people? Yeah.
You're describing a situation where it sounds to me like you confronted child soldiers who were amputees, and you came to them with your anger saying, well, look at you. It's your own fault you ended up this way. But you were transformed in talking to them to believe, no, in fact, they're victims. Can you remember a particular soldier you had that experience with?
A little boy called Sam Brown. And I met Sam in 1998. He had one arm amputated. He joined the fighting when he was 9. His mother had several children, and he remembered that the fighting erupted, and she picked up those she could pick up and ran. So he stayed in the village and was taking over. The village was taking over. To eat, he would hang around the fighters that had taken over the village. Eventually, he became porter, carrying their things for them. And then they realized that he had spunk, and then he started testing him up out with drugs. Sam got shot at the age of 10, and his arm got infected, and it took a rebel businessman to help him, take him to the hospital, and they amputated his arm. When I met him, he was like 14, and he was always high on crack, marijuana, and he was the most foul-mouthed young man you knew. But when he was calm, he was like my nephew. A 10-year-old boy, crying, the withdrawal of the love of a mother. One of those days when he was going through his thing of withdrawal, crying like a baby, it really hit me. And he said to, and I said to myself, this boy is as much a victim. At least I was 17. He was just 9. That afterwards until today, I've fallen in love with those group of combatants that I work with. Till when I'm in Monrovia, they know my car. If it is parked at a bank, they're standing there waiting for me to come out. They either want to chat or they want to do something or they want to fill me in on their children and what is happening. They are a part of my community.
So before we go then, you've described a community of former combatants, of women, of course, in Africa and with your foundations now trying to create a network around the world. Who are your world leader compatriots? Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who shared the Nobel Prize with you. Who else?
Well,
Hillary Clinton?
There's something
that she'll take your call, right?
There are certain things that I can learn from President Sirleaf, and coming from the same country, we do interact, especially now that she's asked me to help lead the National Reconciliation Initiative in Liberia. That's one. But Bishop Tutu, I think I'm a student of his now. I was in Davos and was hanging on to his every word as we sat. But then also, if I send an email or call, he picks the call. The beauty of picking that call is that the conversation always starts with, let us pray, my daughter. And it always ends with, let us pray, my daughter. So there are moments, but it's still tough because this is a new world for me, a whole new world.
Well, we are glad you're in that new world. We'll leave it there. Let us all pray for the daughters, shall we? What a great conversation. Lema Bowe won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2011 for her pivotal role in the Liberian women's peace movement, presenting here at the TED Conference. Thanks so much.
Welcome, John.
That's Nobel Prize laureate Lema Bowe speaking with John Hockenberry. Both John and Lema are speaking at the TED Conference in Long Beach, California this week. You can hear the entire interview again, along with the rest of the conversations from the TED Conference, at our website. It's thetakeaway.org.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.